The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 29, Text Number 9, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 20th, 2007, in Lambasa, Fiji.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 29, Text Number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishayanabhisandhaya Yasha Aishvaryam Evava Achada Vacharit Yomam Pritang Bhava Sarajasa. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. The word separatist must be understood carefully. The Sanskrit words in this connection are bhinna drik and pritag bhava. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees, or devotees in the modes of passion and ignorance, think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotees. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for their sense gratification. This is the separatist mentality. Actually, pure devotion is explained in the previous chapter. The mind of the Supreme Lord and the mind of the devotee should be dovetailed. A devotee should not wish anything but to execute the desire of the Supreme. That is oneness. When the devotee has an interest or will different from the interest of the Supreme Lord, his mentality is that of a separatist. When the so-called devotee desires material enjoyment without reference to the interest of the Supreme Lord, or he wants to become famous or opulent by utilizing the mercy or grace of the Supreme Lord, he is in the mode of passion. Mayavadis, however, interpret this word separatist in a different way. They say that while worshipping the Lord, one should not think himself one with the Lord. They say that while worshipping the Lord, one should think himself one with the Supreme Lord. This is another adulterated form of devotion within the modes of material nature. The conception that the living entity is one with the Supreme is in the mode of ignorance. Oneness is actually based on oneness of interest. A pure devotee has no interest but to act on behalf of the Supreme Lord. When one has even a tinge of personal interest, his devotion is mixed with the three modes of material nature. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So this separatist, that's a bad thing to be a separatist. Described here. That means you have a separate interest from the interest of the Lord. to have some desire that the Lord, that I want to come to the Lord so He will fulfill my desire. That is called separatist mentality. One may get that desire fulfilled. But you know what? You get your desire fulfilled, but you won't get Krishna. You see? So what's the use? I may desire to become famous. I may desire to become opulent. And I may get those desires fulfilled, but I won't. What is the use of fame and opulence if I don't get Krishna? You see? Without Krishna, everything is futile. There's no point to existence unless I have that relationship with Krishna, that loving relationship. Why is that? Because we are the eternal emanations of Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. We exist because He is emanating us from Himself. For what purpose? For the purpose of having a loving relationship with Him. That's why we exist. Not because our mother and father wanted to have a baby. You understand? We exist because Krishna wanted to have a loving relationship with us. Each and every one of us exists for that reason. Each and every one of us is very special to Krishna. Each and every one is very unique in the eyes of Krishna. Just like there's no two snowflakes. Of course, you don't see snow here, do you? No. But in the northern regions, like Finland, where we preach, sometimes the snow is very much snow. But of all the millions and billions of snowflakes, they're not, if you look at them in a microscope, they all have beautiful patterns, but each one of them is completely unique. There's no two snowflakes that are the same. Millions and billions of different patterns are there in the snowflakes. Of course, to the naked eye, it is just like a piece of snow, but you put it in a microscope, you see it has a beautiful pattern, very nice pattern is there. And there are no two snowflakes that are ever the same. They're all unique. So, the same thing with the living beings. Each living being is totally unique. And Krishna wants to taste that particular type of love that that particular living entity can give to Him. And that's why He's emanating, that's why He's created you. That's why you exist. So that you can love Krishna and satisfy Him in a way that nobody else can. You see? So to deny ourselves that relationship with Krishna, which to revive that is the sweetest, most wonderful thing you could ever desire to have. To give up that rarest gem in exchange for some broken pieces of glass. That is the greatest tragedy. You understand? Just as Dhruva, he wanted to have a kingdom greater than his father, so he was doing all this tapa in the forest. But he became so powerful in mystic yoga that the universal life airs were choked up, the demigods were suffocating by dint of his great prowess in yoga. So Vishnu was obliged to go there to see what's going on here with this boy, Dhruva. And when Dhruva had that darshan of Prishnigarbha, Krishna, Vishnu, he was absolutely amazed. He was thinking, I must have that kingdom, I must have that kingdom. He was so disturbed that Suruchi rejected him. You're not born from my womb, therefore you cannot sit on your father's lap. That was so disturbing to the boy, you see. Suniti said, what can I do? He loves Suruchi more than he loves me. What can I do, my dear son? But you can go to the forest and you can see Vishnu. He may be able to help you, but I cannot. So, when he actually had that darshan, Prishnigarbha, he was amazed. How beautiful, how wonderful. is this Lord. And he realized, what are all my desires for worldly fame and opulence and prestige and power? What are all these desires? They're simply like broken glass. And he lamented, what a fool I was. I wanted this broken glass. What a stupid idiot I was to want that broken glass. And now I see this is the rarest gem. Just simply to have the sangha, the darshan, the opportunity to serve that Supreme Lord. That is the most wonderful thing. You see? So this is actual Krishna consciousness. We see the Hindus, they're very much into worshipping. And the Christians, the Jews, the Muslims, they go to the synagogue, the church, and they worship. But what are they going for? They're going for some material thing. Dear God, please give us our daily bread. You see? It's like the Hindus, they have that song. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. You see, with great feeling they beg the Lord, give me, give me, give me. So this is separatist mentality, you see. They are coming to the Lord, but they want the Lord to serve them. Their worship is in the mode of passion. Such worship is useless. Of course, it is better than atheism. But it is useless because it does not give any satisfaction to the soul. One is simply fanning the fire of lust within the heart and including God within the formula. It's like someone maybe desiring, oh, I want that woman for my wife, so Krishna, please give me that woman for my wife. He's just meditating on sense gratification, and he's bringing God into it. That's all. Give me my sense gratification, Lord. You see? How much he's polluted. How stupid he is. You see? We don't require anything except for Krishna. Krishna bhakti is all we need. Nothing else is needed. So, this worship in the mode of passion must be carefully understood and discarded from the heart. We must throw that out of the heart. There should not be that mentality of coming to the Lord as the order supplier. My dear Lord, please give me my daily chapatis. You see? Do you think Krishna is so cold and so callous? When you were a child growing up in your parents' home, did you say, Mommy and Daddy, will you please feed me today? Did you ever have to do that? No. Because they are your mother, their father, they love you. They want to see your welfare. So why are we praying to God, give me this, give me that? We think that he's something less than our parents. We have to remind him to feed us. We have to remind him to take care of our needs. No. This is foolishness. We simply have to understand that the Lord knows perfectly everything that I need to be happy and satisfied. He's giving me everything. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. He's giving me everything that I need. I simply have to give up the separatist mentality of trying to take from him and put myself 100% in the mood of giving loving service to him. You see, ahaitaki bhakti. Wake up, sleeping soul. You've gotten this rare human birth after millions of lifetimes. And now you have come into the presence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna. So, if the mode of ignorance is creeping into your brain, kick it. Kick the tamagun out of your head. Wait, tell yourself to wake up, shake your head, tap your... do something. Don't nod out. I know my godbrother, Tejas Prabhu, he one time had the wonderful opportunity to be traveling with Srila Prabhupada in the cave. He was many times. He was preaching in India in the early days. The devotees who went to India in the beginning of ISKCON, they got so much association with Prabhupada. There was just a small handful of Western devotees. There was no Indian devotees yet. And so those Western devotees who were with Prabhupada in India, they got so much intimate association. In the West, it was you couldn't get in to see Prabhupada. But in India, you could just walk right into his room and sit down and talk with him as long as you wanted. So anyway, he was in the car riding with Prabhupada, and he was falling asleep. Then Prabhupada said, "Do you know where you are going? Wake up!" So if even just sitting in the taxi cab, Prabhupada didn't like to see his disciples like that. What to speak of in the class? You understand? How important it is to stay awake in the class. There is much time in the day for sleeping. If you didn't get enough rest last night, then you can take a nap later on, no problem. But in the class, you must be alert. You must be awake. You sit up, it will help also. Like a yogi, instead of slouching over. If you can sit up, straighten your back a little bit. Yes, that will help you to be more alert. That's right. That's right. We have a tendency to slouch. This is laziness, you see. But in Vedic culture, actually they sit... You see the picture here of all the sages? You see, is anyone slouching? They're all sitting like this. We all have a tendency to slouch. It's our Western contamination. Slouching habit. But we see these great personalities are all sitting like this. Very keen and eager to hear every single word of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why do they want to do that? Why do they want to hear every word and drink deeply that wisdom, that knowledge, that Krishna manifested in the form of Bhagavatam? Because they understand this is how I will get free from the separatist mentality of wanting to approach God for my own personal fulfillment of desires. By hearing deeply the Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of the bona fide spiritual master, I'll become free of this tendency to worship Krishna in tamagun and rajagun. And I'll become pure in bhakti to where Krishna becomes my personal property, actually. So to become very eager to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is a great qualification. This is what Prabhupada told us about his relationship with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. That that time, Srila Prabhupada, he was a pharmacist. And he heard that Guru Maharaj was giving... he was doing the Parikrama, Vrindavan, and giving Pravachan. So many nice Pravachan he was giving in different places around Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, evening time, we know by going to Vrindavan, what is very popular in the evening? In Vrindavan, everyone goes for darshan. In the Western world, they go to nightclub, cinema, strip parlor, prostitution house. That's very popular in the evening time in the Western culture. But in Vrindavan, in the evening, everyone goes for darshan. Very popular thing, darshan time. It's nice and cool and refreshing as you go up for darshan. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he speaks, and we know from reading what he has written, that he speaks in very, very erudite English. The materialistic deminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat who is ever inviting the fallen conditioned souls. In this way, he speaks in very big, big erudite English. So, in the evening, it was darshan time, but Guru Maharaj Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati was giving darshan, giving pravachan also, explaining Krishna consciousness in his usual erudite style. So most of the disciples, they just went for darshan, because they couldn't understand what he was talking about. They couldn't follow the line of what he was saying. But Abhay Charanday, who became our Srila Prabhupada, you see. Abhay Charanday, he said, I would understand or I would not understand, but still I would go on hearing. You see, he was very eager to hear every word coming from the mouth of Guru Maharaj. Whether he understood what he was talking about or not didn't matter. He just knew, I want to hear the words coming from his mouth. That's all. He was very eager to hear the words coming from the mouth of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. So after that time, he, of course, he went that night, and only a small handful stayed to hear. Babai Charanday was one of them. So then shortly after that, it's like now the temple authority will recommend someone to Guru for initiation. So the authorities in Allahabad recommended Abhay Charanday to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati for initiation. He says, yes, I will initiate this boy. He hears very nicely, you see. So that was his qualification. That was noted by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. He hears nicely, you see. And then Prabhupada said, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely, you see. So if you have a desire to be an empowered preacher, someone who can make Fiji the first Krishna conscious country in the world, you see, if you have a desire to do something wonderful for Prabhupada's movement, then the key is hear nicely. Hear very, very nicely. When the preacher is there preaching, especially when a spiritual master is there preaching, then hear very, very nicely. We see great preachers like His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, how much intensely he listened to Srila Prabhupada, you see. Very, very intensely he would hear Prabhupada. So this is how we become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. By rapt hearing. Very intensely absorbing ourselves in hearing the words coming from the lotus mouth of spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, the preachers. So we can ask now if there's any questions.
Listening to the spiritual master, mm-hmm. They may be some other language, even then you get the benefit.
That's right. Even if the spiritual master, someone may be understand, you know, Hindi bola, Angrezi nahi, you know. They may not understand a word of English. But still, if they will absorb themselves in hearing even the classes in the English language, just by that vibration, they will become purified. The sound vibration of Krishna Katha is just like thunder in the sky. You see? It has potency. It doesn't require any particular language to understand that it's thunder. The rain is coming. I hear the thunder. I better get my umbrella. You see? It doesn't require any particular language for understanding thunder. Similarly, it doesn't require any particular language comprehension to become purified by the transcendental sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita. A little baby who doesn't know how to speak one word of any language yet, maybe there in the arms of her mother in the Bhagavatam class, but that baby is getting the benefit of the Bhagavatam class, even without understanding a single word of what's being spoken. So yes, this is called Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound vibration. It has the power to purify the heart of all the dirt, whether we understand the meaning or not, in any language. It's the same thing. Sometimes foolish people think that ISKCON